Hello, and welcome to Introduction to Meteorology at the University of Hawaii at Manoa with Dr. Jennifer Griswold. Thank you for joining us. In today's lecture, we're going to talk about cloud formation and cloud identification. In preparation for today's lecture, you should have read through the second half of Chapter 4 from the Aaron's text. Last lecture, we talked about water in the atmosphere, the hydrologic cycle, ways to measure moisture in the atmosphere, and discussed dew and frost. Let's start with a discussion of what we call a cloud. A cloud is any visible aggregate of tiny droplets of water or ice crystals, or a mixture of both. They help meteorologists figure out what's going on in the atmosphere. Cloud drops form after air has been lifted in an updraft, which varies significantly from around 1 to 10 meters per second. Then, once the air rises and cools enough, it can reach saturation, or simply its dew point, where the relative humidity is 100%. Cloud drops formed this way tend to be around the same size and are usually very small, around 10 micrometers. I'd like to give you a simple recipe for making a cloud. First, you need cloud condensation nuclei, or CCN. They serve as the surface for water vapor to condense upon. Second, you need rising air. We'll discuss these methods in future lectures. Once air is rising, it experiences cooling. Condensation then occurs at what is called the lifted condensation level, or LCL. We'll talk about this in more detail in the next lectures. The third ingredient is water vapor, because you need water vapor if you're going to have some condensation occur. You may be wondering why we need CCN. Water vapor doesn't like to form droplets by itself. There are a bunch of reasons why this is the case, but we won't be addressing them in this introductory class. Just know that particles are necessary for forming clouds. The best particles are called hygroscopic, or water-liking. A good example of hygroscopic particles are sea salt. There are also hydrophobic particles that repel water. These particles can serve as nuclei when the relative humidity is greater than or equal to 100%. Without CCN, the relative humidity would have to be much greater than 100% for a cloud drop to form. You may also be wondering why cloud droplets are so small. Initially, as the air is rising and condensation begins, the drops grow very quickly. If there are lots of CCN present, the water vapor is distributed between many particles instead of a few big ones. There isn't necessarily a preference for one CCN over another. If we compare a population of 5 CCN with a population of 10 CCN and split the same amount of water between these different aerosols for those different cases, you'd see that the case with 5 CCN would have larger drops than the case with 10 CCN. It's similar to splitting a pizza between friends. If you have 12 slices and 12 people, each person gets one slice. If you have 12 slices and 6 people, each person can have 2. Therefore, the more CCN there are, the less water is available for each individual CCN to take up. Now that we have an idea of how clouds form, let's talk about the different types of clouds. Clouds come in an assortment of shapes, sizes, and altitudes. We're going to talk about clouds in 5 categories: high clouds, middle clouds, low clouds, clouds with vertical development, and clouds that are special and have a special name to go along with them. We'll also talk about different categories of clouds. Clouds with the word stratus in them tend to have layered shapes. Clouds that have the word cumulus in them tend to be lumpy or clumped shaped. And clouds with the word cirrus in them tend to be made out of ice. So keep your ears open for those terms as we discuss these different types of clouds. Let's start with high clouds. High clouds include cirrus, cirrostratus, and cirrocumulus. Cirrus are fibrous and are often called mare's tails because they look like horses' tails that are blowing in the breeze. Cirrostratus are white, thin, and layered-like clouds that cover the majority of the sky. As the sun shines through a cirrostratus cloud, a halo or bright circle is produced. They are commonly seen as a warm front approaches. Cirrocumulus look like white small puffs or ripples. They are often called fish scales or mackerel sky, especially at sunset. These clouds are found above 6,000 meters or 20,000 feet. They are composed of ice only and are not a significant source of precipitation. Middle clouds include altocumulus and altostratus. Altocumulus appear as large patches of rounded masses or rolls. They are usually composed of water droplets. alto stratus is typically seen as a formless layer of gray cloud cover. The sun may only be visible as a bright spot, and no halo is visible. They are often found between 2,000 and 6,000 meters, or 6,500 and 20,000 feet. They are made up mostly of water, though some ice can be present, and they infrequently produce precipitation as snow or drizzle. Low clouds include stratus, stratocumulus, and nimbostratus. Stratus clouds are seen as a uniform layer covering most of the sky and are typically dark gray. They sometimes precipitate. Stratocumulus clouds are similar to stratus clouds but have a scalloped bottom covering most of the sky. They may have slight openings that you can see the blue sky through. They appear often as long parallel rolled or blobs and produce lots of drizzle. Nimbostratus are the chief precipitation producers in the middle latitudes. They produce light precipitation but precipitate for a long time. They are associated with stable conditions and are found below 2,000 meters or 6,500 feet and are comprised of liquid drops only. There's no ice in these low clouds. Clouds with vertical development have their own special category and include cumulus and cumulonimbus. Cumulus clouds are individual masses that develop into vertical domes or towers. Their tops often resemble cauliflower. They typically form on clear days. Cumulonimbus clouds are essentially cumulus clouds that have grown out of control. They appear as dark, dense, and billowing clouds. They look very ominous. They can be very tall, ranging from bases in the low cloud category of 2,000 meters, with tops as high as 12 to 20 kilometers. These clouds are complex and have liquid water cloud drops at their bases and can have ice crystals at the tops if they grow tall enough. They cross the low, middle, and high categories and are associated with unstable air. There are some special cloud types that are given names that do not fall into the cirrus, stratus, or cumulus categories. We're going to talk about mammatus and lenticular clouds. Mammatus clouds look like udders on a cow, and they happen after or before severe weather or thunderstorms, and are often seen on the underside of the anvils associated with thunderstorms, which we'll talk about in detail in a few weeks. Lenticular clouds are typically seen in mountainous regions or over mountains themselves. They look like lenses, lentils, or stacks of pancakes. Before we talk about our next topic, I'd like to give you the next extra credit fact that will appear on the midterm. Clouds can contain millions of tons of water. Let's move on to a discussion of a very special type of low cloud, fog. That's right, fog. Fog is essentially a cloud with its base at or very near the ground. There are two types of fog, fogs that are formed by cooling and fogs that are formed by evaporation. Fogs that are formed by cooling include radiation fog, advection fog, and upslope fog. Fogs that are formed by evaporation include steam fog and frontal fog. Let's start with radiation fog. Radiation fog occurs as the ground cools the air close to the surface due to radiation cooling. It is a nighttime phenomenon that usually occurs when skies are clear to allow the most radiation and heat to escape to space. You also need a fairly high relative humidity, which would mean you had a lot of available water vapor to condense. We also see radiation fog in valleys due to the sinking nature of cold, dense air finding the lowest topographic points. As the sun rises and warms the surface and the air, the radiation fog dissipates. Advection fog is also formed by cooling, but in this case, warm, moist air is blown or advected over a cold surface. Remember, advection is the horizontal movement of air. If wind is present, this makes the air more turbulent and causes the cold air to mix to higher levels. This is how fog can appear to thicken over time. A good example of this type of fog are the fogs that are observed on coastal California in San Francisco and Los Angeles, where warm, moist air from the Pacific is advected over the cold coastal California current. Upslope fog occurs when humid air moves up a gradual sloping plain or mountain. As it moves up in altitude, it cools. If you reach the dew point, you'll have condensation occur and have fog form. We see this type of fog in the Great Plains, as warm and moist Gulf of Mexico air is forced up by the gradual increase in elevation from sea level to the Rocky Mountains. That finished up the fogs formed by cooling. Let's move on to our fogs caused by evaporation. That includes steam fog and frontal fog. Steam fog forms when cold air moves over warm water. This at first seems simply the opposite of advection fog. The main difference here is that there is more water vapor added to the air by the rising warm, moist air from the warm water below. The rising moisture-laden air cools and condenses. Remember, moisture is added to the layer, and that's what makes this an evaporation fog rather than a fog caused by cooling. The final type of fog, and our final topic for today, is frontal fog. Frontal fog occurs when warm air is pushed upward in association with a warm front. If there is cold air below the warm air that is at the dew point, rain can evaporate and then produce fog. This fog results from the addition of water vapor into the cool air from the warmer layer aloft. We'll talk a lot more about frontal systems and we'll address this later in the semester. That finishes up our lecture on cloud formation and cloud identification and fog types. Next class, we'll talk about how to lift air, atmospheric stability, and how that affects whether air will rise or sink. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join us again for our next podcast. Goodbye!